Hey, good morning, and welcome to Faith Springs Live, second edition, I guess. I want to welcome everybody here with us today, and here I am back in my home, and I hope that you got the email yesterday and the contact to let people know that we were doing it from a safer place this time instead of from the church building. And I will talk about that briefly, but I want to make sure everybody gets on and everybody's having a good time. We have several people here already. We just went out across all the different stations right now. So hopefully everybody's logging on. I just want to make sure before I say something brilliant, which is the chances of that's pretty slim, that we're all on. And if you are listening to everything good and you can see everything good, either side of the equation of whatever you like to do, if you like to just listen to the audio or see the video, feel free to text me and say good morning or whatever and that you're on, and I'll know that we have a good group of people listening in. So I hope everybody's safe out there, and I'll give you about one more minute, have another little sip of let's let some people in here. Here we go. I'm going to answer a couple of these. Boy, I miss you guys. I don't think you can see because of the glare. But yesterday, the sandstorm thing literally had, it looked like it was fog. Until about noon. But it's a lot clearer today. And now it's just out the horizon. You can tell where there's still, oh boy, everybody's coming on. How do you do? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, keep letting me know. I'm hoping there's nobody at the church this morning at 8 o'clock. We did put, Philip, I believe, put a sign on the door. Thank you, Philip, if that was you that did that, or Esther, or whoever. I appreciate that. That helped out a lot. Hope nobody was trying to get in this morning. And I hope that if you can hear me and can't see me, consider yourself blessed. Whoever this is talking to me. I'm sorry. The best way to get on to be able to see, right now you can get on shatteredbythedarkness.com on Facebook, not .com, Shattered by the Darkness on Facebook, and it should be running live. It should be running live on the BBS Radio Facebook too. Or you can get on the beat. This is the way I do it every morning that you're invited to. Each time to bbsradio.com. When you get on that page, there's going to be at the right-hand side a list of all their TV shows. And down there is Faith Springs. In that, you hit that, and then it comes up with my my episode page on BBS Radio. Then at the far left is a meeting room, a Zoom meeting room that is a live tab. You can hit that. And it comes up immediately. That's the best way that I know to do it. And I was just talking to Don before the show. I'm going to be probably, if I get the permission for the guest tonight on the radio show, I'm going to be doing video every Sunday night also. So be watching for that tonight. If she says she wants to do that and will allow me to do that, then we'll be on the radio and the video. So we'll have that extra ability to be able to get it out to more people on Sunday nights too at 8 o'clock. So, wow, this is just great. This is wonderful. Okay. I'm hoping everybody's got it. So here we go. It just, everybody's on and just looking good and it just keeps going and they're keeping tabbing through. Oh, good. Good. Okay. Morning, morning. Okay. I'm going to put this on pause, but on silent. Don't stop texting me. I love hearing from you. I try to answer everybody back. afterwards. If I miss you, I apologize, but it's not intentional. Okay, one last text and I'm done. Okay. Well, good morning and just welcome back to my place. I try to be as open and as real and not an alarmist, because I'm not an alarmist generally. But I do have a perspective and a different position of seeing numbers that I'm not for sure getting out into the community or on the news as well as they maybe should be. I don't know. I'm just seeing our numbers that are real numbers. And I made a tough decision that in the last 7 days, we've had more COVID cases in the last 7 days than we did almost more than half of ever since this started. And it's telling me that, and then the numbers that came through yesterday were just as high as the numbers in the previous couple of days. We had 2 days of numbers that came in yesterday. And I think the thing that concerns me is the amount of people, the percentage of people that are being tested that's coming back positive. So a lot of people tell you, well, the reason of this and all these different, and I won't go political, is because there's more people getting tested. Not necessarily. There's more people that's getting tested that's coming out positive. That's the key, that's the figure that I want to watch. It used to be 3%. You know, three out of every so many people were about 3% for being positive, coming back with COVID. Well, that figure has now, it was starting to creep up to 8%. It's now 10, 11, and maybe even more than that this morning. So one out of every 10 people that go in to be tested now is coming back with COVID positive. And the numbers of the age, the average age is lowering. And when I look across the church service from the last couple of weeks, I was noticing that there's Jerry Perez, love Jerry to death, but there's Jerry Perez sitting in our midst. Jerry's leaving our church service and probably going to be with Monica and Victor to say hey and see how she's doing with the pregnancy. That right there, if he would have picked up that virus and taken that home, I don't know if I would have been able to forgive myself that because we were in a building, we didn't keep people safe enough to be able to take care of their people. And I just hope that you trust that we did the right thing. I'm hoping this is only going to be a few weeks. I'm not for sure. Nobody has the answers for this. But anyway, thank you for enduring and understanding. And I only got a couple people that thought I was crazy. I get that all the time. But majority of the people were positive and said, thank you, Pastor. We don't need to risk it. I love our seniors, and I would never risk their safety. I know I miss being with you, but this is the best and the safest way to do it. The sad thing is that not this weekend right now, but next Saturday is 4th of July, if my calendar's right. These numbers are going to keep going up because the numbers we're experiencing now is Memorial Day numbers. We're going to have protest numbers following that. That's going to make it continue to go up. And unfortunately, the beaches are going to be full, whether they try to close them or not, from 4th of July. So there's nothing that's going along that's going to allow that to dip again for the next month. So we're going to keep creeping up, I'm afraid. So hang with me. And I thank you for your support, your love, and just for being here with us this morning. So I just want to open up, if I could, with just a word of prayer real quick. And if you have any prayer requests, I would love to just let you send those right now. It seems like today's amount, I don't know if Don can tell me or not, but boy, we got a lot of people on today. And I appreciate that. But if you have a prayer request that you'd like for me to read before we pray, I would love to have that right now. Just text me real quick and I'll watch for that while I give you some fluff. We are trying to finish up the building. So as you pray this week, I would really appreciate some extra prayers to get this building done. I'm ready to get the building done, even though we're not going to be able to meet in there because of this right now. But there's a reason for that. So if you can pray for me, I really would like to get this done in the next month and a half. 6 weeks left. I mentioned last week that maybe this is a marching around Jericho situation. We're going to give 7 weeks and enough's enough. I don't know if that's possible, but God can do it. God can do it. God can do anything. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I want you to get your Bibles out. And let me see if I have, okay, nobody, that's fine. Nobody gave prayer requests. They didn't have time to text me. But let's just open up with a quick word of prayer. And then I want you to grab your Bible, notepad, a pen. And I want to give you some things for how to, for you to be able to get your miracle that you need this week. And we're going to show you how to do that. And I need this. I need this. I need this. Let me get another good drink of coffee. Let's pray real quick. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you right now, and I thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence, even though it's not in a church building. And we knew that all along. It wasn't about a building. It's about a group of people that your spirit, where two or three or more have gathered. You're in their midst. And Lord, I think if the Bible could be updated today, you would maybe even put online. Because you are in our midst right now. In spirit, Lord, we're all together and we're experiencing church. I just love this moment in time on Sunday morning. Be with us in a powerful way. Be with each person, Lord, that has logged on, that's listening. Lord, if they're 100 years old or 5 years old, may they be able to get something out of your word today. And let your word become living in us this morning. Maybe be able to read a word maybe we've never noticed before and let it have a deeper meaning to be able to touch us and bring us closer into your presence. Isn't that what it's all about? We give you the praise and glory. Protect us. Give us wisdom in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. You know, I had breakfast this morning. Let me show you what I had. I figured this was acceptable. Now, don't, Kim, overall, don't tell me that I should have had some kind of green liquid or anything. But I thought, hey, this would work. It's called Pringles Baconator. You have bacon for breakfast, right? So I figured that the ingredients in here could possibly work for breakfast. So this is what I had for breakfast. Kim's emailing right here. Oh no. Yes, this is what I had. Just a few. See, it's not that empty. Just like an inch full. But I thought Baconator, there's breakfast. Anyway, that's what I had. Hope you've already had breakfast. Just kind of washing everything down with some nice Java here. So all righty. First of all, I want to let you know I love you. I hope the kids are listening. And if we have any kids, I would love for them to text me right now and let me know. I kind of like for them to listen to this story, if we could. Today we're going to look at, and I preached on this several times, and I can't remember when, but you that take notes in your word, I will be able to remind me when, because I think this is so powerful. This is what our world needs. This is what our country needs. This is what our community needs. This is what our church needs, our school, people that's listening need. And this is what I need. So did I break it all the way down? From the world all the way down to me. From the world all the way down to you. We need miracles. How does that happen? How does God perform miracles? And how can he do one through you this week, today, in the next hour. Now, I believe that we've all been involved in miracles, but I want to make sure it's not the miracle of you going out looking for an item that is typically sold out right now, Lysol spray. Go try to find Lysol spray right now. If you find it, oh, it's a miracle. No, that's not a miracle. That's just because somebody maybe left it on the shelf and overlooked it. That's not a miracle. Don't do that. Oh, I found a parking spot close to the door. That's not a miracle. Miracles are divine interventions by God that has been constructed to put you and him and the situation at a crossroads, at a meeting place, to where something special could happen. Now, there's only one miracle in all of the Gospels that Jesus did that was in all four Gospels. There's only one. And let me see if I can show you this. In my Bible, and you probably have these two. There's every now and then they have a little chart. Let me show you this. There's a chart in this Bible that says literally all the miracles of Jesus. And here's the miracles of Jesus. And here's the Gospels that they fall under, okay? Now, there's only one that hits all four. And it's miracle number 14, feeding of the 5,000. That's where we're going to be today, okay? Not the feeding of the 4,000. That is only in two. But the feeding of the 5,000, miracle number 14. And I'm going to give you the references that it says right here in this John MacArthur Bible that you can find them at. You can find this miracle that we're going to talk about today in Matthew 14, 13, in Mark 6, 30, and that's where we're going to be today in Mark, in Luke 9, 10, and in John 6, 1. So if you want to get into your Bibles, I hope you do, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 30, and we're going to jump into this. And I don't know, Kim, if kale-flavored Pringles would sell, but it may. I don't know. I'm not for sure I would be in line for that, but thank you for the wisdom. Mark chapter 6, verse 34, we can start off with. If you're there, say, oh, yeah, and you can text me, oh, yeah, just to make sure you're awake. Oh, good. Great, great, great. I'm glad everybody's there that's there. Make sure you find it. Get your piece of paper and a pen. This is probably the most famous miracle that God ever did, that Jesus ever did. It's the only one that's in all four Gospels. And Jesus, I want to reiterate that we shouldn't do this either. Jesus never performed a miracle just to show off. That wasn't who he was. He performed a miracle because there was needs. Do you need a miracle? Do you need something in your life that there's no way that you can humanly possibly do it on your own? Do you need an intervention from Christ? I do. Do you? Think of what that is. And we're going to show you how maybe to take some steps to have that miracle take place in your life. And I hope that when this goes out all across the world and on the internet and on the repeats of people listening, that each person can lean in and go, yeah, I need that. And kids, if you're there, what do you need? And think about it. So I want you to have that in your mind and in your heart when we start reading this story, okay? Mark 6, verse 34, through 37 is where we're going to start off with. And it goes something like this. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd. I love this. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus, obviously, in verse 34, when he saw it, he had compassion. So what did he do? Did he take up an offering? No. He began teaching them many things. He started sharing with them, this is how to do it. This is how to make it through it. This is how to experience what you need to experience in your life. This is how to live. This is how to experience life. This is how to see truth. This is how to get past all the stuff that the world out there is telling you about. This is what's important. And he started just teaching them. And as he started sharing, obviously it was more than a 20-minute sermon. Because in verse 35, by this time, it was late in the day. He was talking to him, kept going, going, and teaching. So his disciples came to him and they said, hey, this is a remote place, Jesus. It's already late. Have you checked your clock? Verse 36, send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages buy themselves something to eat. Let's let these folks go so they can get out to the restaurants before they close. Okay, Jesus? Let's let them go. We're out here in the middle of nowhere. Let them go so they can go eat. Verse 37, I want you to catch this. But he answered, hey, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, that would take more than a half a year's salary. Really? Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give them that to eat? Now look at this. I'm going to stop there, but keep your Bible open because we have several more scriptures I want to read on this story. Look at the scenario. The problem is you have a huge crowd. The problem is that this crowd has been there and they're getting hungry. They're in the middle of a place where there's nothing open to eat. It's a remote location. There's no Wendy's around. There's no place that you can go buy Walgreens and get you some Pringles. None of that's available. How are we going to feed these folks? No McDonald's. Nothing close. I'm going to show you the first step in this scripture of what you need to experience your first miracle in your life. You need to admit you have a need. That's important, that there's something that you need. This is major breakthrough for so many people. So many people cannot admit, I need help. And when they get to that point, now, I don't want to get political, but this goes from world leaders all the way down to us. This goes from people like country leaders, presidents, kings, and all the way down to little old me and you, that they get that pride inside of them and they say, hey, wait, I made a decision like this COVID thing and I have too much pride to back up from it. Instead of just going, hey, wait, I need help on this. This is beyond something that I have ever experienced before. And isn't this for everybody? Isn't this for all of us? Beyond what we can do? But let's look at life. Isn't life the same way? I need to admit, first thing, that I have a need. And there's people that just can't do that. What's your need? Let's break through that barrier. If we don't get to the other 3 points in the sermon, no big deal. But if I can help you break through that one barrier, that one piece of shell that has you trapped before it starts cracking open, you need to admit in your metamorphosis, in your transformation, that I have a need. What's your need? What is it that you cannot do on your own? Maybe because you have insecurity. Maybe because there's pride in you. Maybe because you've lived in denial way too long. Is your need in health? You know, Louise Phelps just went through open heart surgery recently at a considerably out of the area age to be able to do that. And God provided. God got her through that. She had a need that the doctors finally said, there's nothing else that will take place. Nothing else that's going to work. She has to have this. At that point, the O'Days and Louise and the doctors all agreed, we need God to intervene and allow us to do this procedure. And she got through it. To me, that was a miracle. Being used with doctors and nurses and hospitals to be able to provide that miracle. But God got her through that. Jesus got her through that. And the omission of that, I have something that I can't handle on my own. And if you're writing this down, does this have something to do with your health? Do you have a need in relationships? Is there something that you just go, there's no way my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife or my best friend or my girlfriend or boyfriend or my boss is ever going to understand. We're never going to be able to mend that relationship. If you have something like that, that's what I want you to write down. A relationship with this person. That's the need that I have. Do you have that? Admit that you have that need. Or is it financial? Is it just the fact that there is no way that whatever mountain you have to be able to climb financially, that you're going to be able to do it on your own? And maybe that's your need that you haven't need a miracle for today. What is it? I want you to take just a second and think about what, where, and what do you need a miracle in your life? What would it be? Where would it be at? There's a principle here that under the first point, I want you to write down. God will not help you until you admit you need it. He waits for you to be concerned. God waits for you to go, wait, I need this. I need this now. I can't do it on my own. And there's some things that we do that instead of admitting our needs, we usually do a couple, two or three things. We procrastinate. We put off dealing with it. We delay. No, wait, there's some people that do this. There's some people that get bills. Okay, they'll get a bill. This is my Xfinity bill. They'll get bills, and they won't open these bills because they know they can't afford it, know they can't pay for it, so they ignore it and they procrastinate even opening it up to figure out if they're going to be able to have enough money to pay for it. Or they look it up in the light and they'll go, uh-oh, it looks like there's a red notice in there, which means they're getting ready to cut you off. I'm always amazed with people that will come to me and go, Greg, can you help me with my electric bill? And I say, well, what's the situation? Well, they're going to cut it off tomorrow. Now, wait, you got several of these notices before they decided to cut you off. The electric bill just go, uh-oh, it's due. Sorry, cut off. They don't do that. They send you notice after notice after notice after notice, and then the notices start changing color. It goes from white to pink to red on the front, cutoff notice inside. It goes to that. But people procrastinate, and they put all of this in a nice little stack somewhere and go, I'm just going to pretend it's not there. How's that working for you? It's not. Look at this situation. In this story, it says right there, verse 35, by this time, it was late in the day. They had all day to get something to eat. But they didn't. They procrastinated, and the problem only got worse. What problem have you been putting off? What problem do you need to break through right now and say, I have a need. I can't do this on my own. What would that be? First step you need to do is admit you have a need. If you don't, you procrastinate. Another thing we do is sometimes we pass the buck. We blame others. This isn't my problem. I don't care. It has nothing to do with me. Matter of fact, the disciples said, hey, we have a problem. Here's how to solve it, Jesus. Send all these people away. They're not our responsibility. Come on. Out of sight, out of mind. Come on, move them on. We didn't ask them to come. Let them find their own food. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way we're doing business today. You're not going to pass the buck and send them out hungry. Let me perform a miracle for them. Or we do the third thing. We worry. We get anxious. We stew. We stress out. But notice, the disciples' anxiety went into overdrive. They automatically, when Jesus said, feed them, they automatically pulled out their wallets and went, wait, are you kidding? We can't afford this. This will take a half year's wages. Are you kidding? I imagine the treasurer, the Richard Overall in that day, sit back and go, no, our budget won't allow this. I imagine if Judas was there, he was opening up the money bags going, wait, we don't have enough to cover that. Are you kidding me? So they all started worrying about it. We cannot do that. They forgot. Oh, this is so powerful. Catch this. They forgot. They were standing next to Jesus Christ. They forgot that he was in their midst. What are you worried about? What need do you have? What thing have you been procrastinating about? What thing have you been passing the buck and blaming it on somebody else? What need is it? I want to encourage you to look around the room you're in. Jesus is with you. He's standing right there. He has the ability to turn a stone into bread. He has the ability to put coins in a fish's mouth, to be able to come upstream. And while the old days were at the river fishing, they can look down and go, oh, look, a silver dollar. He has the ability to do that. So why, if he can do that to physical things, why couldn't he do that with your life? Admit you have a need and break through it. Break that barrier today. And I know I've hammered this number one point, and I typically don't do that. Let's just get through the 4 points and have a poem and go home. I'm already home. But this is important. Admit you have a need. Admit you have a need. Don't put it off anymore. Don't procrastinate anymore. Don't blame anybody else. And please, don't worry about it. Because I think if Philip Plummer was in the room with me, I'd say, hey, Philip, isn't there a verse that goes something like this? Be anxious for nothing. It's in there. Don't worry about it. The second step. Admit you have a need, number one. Work with what you've got. Look around and go, hey, I need a miracle in my life. What do I have? How am I using it? Look at verse 38. Next verse. I hope you still have your Bible open. Next verse goes like this. How many loaves do we have? Jesus asked, what do you have? How many loaves are available? Go and find out. When they found out, they came back with the report. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Thank you, Philip. He said it was Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. I just love you. Philippians 4:6 is that verse. You may want to write down under one. Don't be anxious about anything. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. Why did Jesus do that? Why didn't Jesus, if he wanted to show the impact of his power, to just be able to go, wait, nobody move. Silence. And do his hand up and go, food. And it just appear in everybody's lap. Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he just give everybody their own personal happy meal? Or I think what they do at Steak and Shake, to take a home a sack. Why didn't he do that? Because he wanted to teach us something that we could use right here on the last weekend in June of 2020. Work with what you have. What do you have? There's a principle here I want you to write under number 2. God always starts with what you have when he wants to do a miracle. God won't help you, the first principle, until you admit you need it. And the second principle, God always starts with what you have to do a miracle. And verse 37. I love that. You give them something to eat. You feed them. And the disciples responded, that's impossible. Practically, financially, and humanly, we can't do it. Has God ever asked you to do something that is impossible? Has God ever asked you to have faith in something that as you look and you're sitting right now in the situation you are, you say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. It's impossible, God. Lord, I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the talent. Why did he ask that? Think about it for a second. Why? Because he wanted to stretch your faith. He wanted to stretch your faith further and tighter and wider and longer and expanded more than it has ever been before. He wanted to stretch that. John 6:6 says this. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. I guarantee you that Jesus was not over in the corner sweating, perspiring, and going, oh, whew, I don't know if I want to get through this or not. God, you better come on, Dad. You better come through. I'm really in a pressure point here. I'm in a pressure cooker. He did not do that. I promise you, he wasn't sweating at all. He'd seen the need long before. Listen to this. Catch this. This is what you're listening to this broadcast right now for. He was waiting long and knew it long ago before you even knew you had the need. He already knew you was going to have the need, and he already has the plan to get you through the need. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, did you not think that he already knew that all these people were going to be hungry? That he was talking and sharing with them longer than normal, and their stomachs were going to start growling? He knew it. He already had a plan. So look at the miracle that I ask you to look for in your own life that you need. I want to assure you, I want to promise you, God already knows that you have a need. He already has the plan to get you through it. Does it get any better than that? And if you really want to, huddle up. Get close. Write this down. God knows the answer before you know the problem. God has the answer before you even know what the problem is. I promise you that. But don't take my word from this chubby preacher. Take it from God's word. He promises you that. Does it get any better than that? It doesn't. Admit you have a need. Assess with what you have to work with. What do you have to work with? And then, number three, give God whatever you have. John's account in the same parable indicates and tells us that Andrew found one little boy who his mom made a sack lunch for and sent it with him. He found one boy that had food. And it wasn't much. It was five muffins and a couple sardines. Five loaves and two fish. I imagine others may have brought bigger lunches. But the boy in this story, I think, is going to be in the hall of faith somewhere, because the boy in this story gave everything he had. Let's take this for instance. I'm hungry, and I have Baconator Wendy's Pringles. I'm hungry, and we're in the middle of 200 people in a crowd that's all hungry. I'm hungry. Would I not probably open it up, take a few, and then say, hey, you guys can have the rest? There's no indication in the Gospel of John that that's what this boy did. This boy says, hey, you can have it all. Give God whatever you have, and don't hold back something just for you, just in case it doesn't work. That's where we go wrong. That's where we miss so many miracles, is I want to hold on to what I think I may need to be able to get something just in case God does it. This little boy gave everything he had. This morning, God's asking you, if you want that miracle to happen in your life, admit you have a need, work with what you have, and then give everything you have to God, and it's going to work, and a miracle will come through. Verse 41, taking the five loaves and the two fish, looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. I can't wait for the DVD on that, because I don't know how he divides fish. I don't know if he had a paring knife, a Ronco fish knife, and started cutting up the fish. I don't know how this even works, but he did. He divided the two fish, broke the bread, and handed out to the disciples to give them to everyone else. The third principle, God will use whatever you give him. He will use ordinary people in extraordinary ways. Now, what? Notice the kind of miracle, the kind of giving that sparks the miracle. This little boy, Matthew, says he volunteered it. He shared his lunch with the crowd. There's no indication that he was grumbling, complaining, or worrying. He probably said, I got some stuff. I got a bag. You can have mine. There wasn't a chance for them to have a committee meeting or a long gated invitation to be able to get the boy. Let's sing 18 verses of Just As I Am so we can put the guilt in the boy to be able to give the sack lunch away. Sing it again, guys. Sing it again. Eventually, he's going to come. Eventually, he's going to come forward. There's no indication of that. Every indication in this story is he immediately gave it. He gave it cheerfully, and he gave it willingly. He offered it up. I have this, and he gave it all. Do you do that? Do I do that? Wow, maybe that's why I don't see more miracles in my life. The most miserable people probably are people who feel guilty when they don't give, but then resent it when they do. Unfortunately, you miss God's blessing both ways. You feel guilty when you don't give, and you resent it when you do. Congratulations. You just blew both sides of God's blessings. That has to be miserable. Give what you have to the Lord. And I'm not taking up an offering today. I'm not talking about just money. This wasn't about money. This is about what they needed at the time, and it was food. And it worked. The fourth thing, I'm almost done, and I see the time, so we're getting there. Write down number four. When you give it, when you admit it, okay, when you give it, you expect God to multiply it. Verse 42. They all ate and had enough to get them home before dinner. Hey, what it says. They all ate and were satisfied. Had a great dinner the other night. Went out to Salt Creek. There weren't many people in there, but that's all right. And ate and ate. Do you know when you feel good? You go, woo! And you lean back and you pat the old gut. Maybe about halfway through, you have to unbutton the old buckler and let her loose a little bit, let the belly flop so it has more room for another loaf of bread that they're going to bring you. I have an indication that they weren't just enough to get them by. They ate, they all ate, and they were all satisfied. And then the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. Can you imagine? What did they do with these? I hope they gave it to the boy and said, take this home to mom. Can you imagine the story, what this boy said? Hey, mom, look at this. As carrying all of this food, what I gave away, look what God has done for me, for us, for our home. I don't know. We'll watch it one day. I don't know. But isn't that awesome? There's a principle here on when you expect God to multiply it. And I want you to catch this. Whatever I give, write this down. I always end up getting more back. Whatever I give, I always end up giving more back. I used to preach at several churches over my so many years of ministry. It's a lot of years right now. I'm 35, maybe going on 40 years. I'm going on 40 years of being in the ministry, more than 40. Farm communities. And I want to promise you, those farmers that work their field on Sundays when they think there's going to help them produce a bigger crop. I have talked to farmer after farmer after farmer over my years in ministry, and every one of them that were in church on Sunday said, you know, I get more done Monday through Saturday than I ever dreamed of. If I work Sunday, if I try to plant, if I try to disc, if I try to whatever on Sunday, something somehow ends up not producing right. Somehow it doesn't go well for me. And they've learned to have the faith that God will always, if you give God what he expects, he always gives you more back. So what miracle do you need? Expect God to multiply it. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. Because why? All things are possible with God. The key here is God loves to do miracles through people. We wait for God to do for us, and he waits to do it through us. Okay. What we wait for God to do for us, God waits to do it through us. Your miracle is waiting. He's waiting to do it through you today. It's there. This story is so appropriate for us at Faith Springs. We need so many things. We have a building that I don't know when it's going to get done, but I'm praying for a miracle. We're going to give it everything we have. We're going to expect God to do it and more. We live in a country that we don't know how we're going to end up getting everything back together in unity again. But we're going to give what we have. We're going to give our faith and our prayers and our hopes and our dreams and our positivity and our love, understanding. We're not going to throw this country out with the baby out with the bathwater thing. We're not going to do that. We expect God to do a miracle, and he can. He's done it once. He's done it twice. And I can keep on counting for infinity. And he can do it through you and your life. So, in your own personal life, as we only have a couple minutes left, admit you have a need. See what you have to work with. Give God whatever it takes. And expect God to multiply it. Now, when you do those four things, what can you expect to happen? Oh, nothing. I'm just talking. Wrong. Thanks for playing. Expect miracles. You can expect miracles. I believe in a God that can still do miracles. If you don't, what are you coming to church for? Because he can still. God will do some amazing things. Some of you will get through problems that you never thought you would get through. Some of you will have marriages that will end up healing. I believe that. Some of you will have unexpected income or whatever. You get somebody to call you if you don't have a job and say, hey, I have this position that's just for you. Expect to grow spiritually. This is about promoting him. This isn't about promoting Greg or promoting you. This is about promoting him. So when something happens, stand up and praise him. Don't you dare go, look what I've done. Look what God has done. Look how Jesus got me through this. I can't wait. I can't wait until we can be in a church where everybody can be there, no mask, and we can start showing you all the miracles that have happened during this time. I can't wait because they're there. All you're looking at is the oh me's, the oh my's, oh no's. Well, there's a lot of amens. I promise you that. I promise you that. The third thing is you can expect to be hassled by the devil. He's going to try to mess you up. He's going to try to poke at you. He's going to give you things that you didn't expect. He's going to send you texts that I get every day. Going, oh, no, I wish I didn't see that text. He's going to try to mess you up. Don't allow. Expect to see some miracles. Expect to grow spiritually. Expect to be hassled by Satan. And expect to experience joy beyond measure. Beyond measure. I don't know if there's a miracle in the Bible. Study this. That didn't involve these steps. Do you need it? I'm done. I'm going to put the notes down. I'm done. What do you need right now? I would love to have this kind of interaction with you this morning. If you could just text me. Use that as a step of faith. Not that I'm the mediator. I'm not. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to pull up the little screen by and say, oh, we'll say 10 Hail Marys and you'll be fine and close the screen. That's not what I'm saying. But I would love to have a text to be your step of faith of I'm going to share what I need. I'm going to share the miracle of what I'm praying for and allow us to have a word of prayer. Can you share that right now with me? Can you at least write it down on a piece of paper around your sermon notes? At least put it in the cover of your Bible on the inside of saying, on this day, June 28, 2020, I ask God for this miracle in my life. However you want to do it, but I would love to be able to pray for you daily on those. Send those texts to me when we say amen today. I would love to be able to agree with you on that. I hope and pray that you've enjoyed being with us today. It has been an honor to be in your presence, even though it was via the internet. It's an honor to have all the people that surround the world watch and listen to Faith Springs online. But it'll be an honor to pray for you right now with whatever miracle you need in your life. Our church needs miracles. Our people need miracles. I need a miracle. And I'm sure you do too. Take God's word, take the example, and watch it happen. And I wish I could sing this song, Here Comes a Miracle, because it's just around the corner. Let's pray. Dear Lord, right now I ask that you take this story, this miracle that is not a parable, an actual miracle that happened in your word, that you can apply it to our own lives in our hearts and let it happen. Lord, restore relationships. Lord, bring finances to people that need them. Lord, bring jobs. Bring health back to people that need them. Whatever those needs are, Lord, let them have the step of faith to give out everything that they have to get it to happen. And I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about not just money, Lord. It's not about money. You know that. But Lord, let them step out on faith to have each person that's listening today to have their miracle happen in their own life. We give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for joining me today. Thank you all for being part of the most wonderful church, most wonderful church family in the world. And you've just experienced it. Faith Springs Baptist. Join us next week right here for another broadcast of Faith Springs Live. Have an awesome week. Text me, please. Get on your knees and pray right now for it. The miracle's coming. God bless. Have an awesome Sunday, and we'll talk to you soon. See you tonight at 8 o'clock on Breaking the Silence. You're going to love tonight's show. See you all tonight. God bless you. Have a good week. Bye-bye.